Welcome to Being Bipolar. I'm your host, Doobie. I'm going to introduce you into my madness, and hopefully it'll help you with yours. What up, peeps? What up? I got Doobie here. And today I want to talk to you about somebody special in my life. I've known the man for 30-some-odd years, man. Kurt Skinny Webb, who I will be calling either Father Webb or Skinny. Either way, I've known him for over 30 years, and knowing that he made the Hall of Fame of Iowa, I mean, that's pretty big. Music Hall of Fame of Iowa. NAMM shows, you know, he's traveling all over the place, but, you know, it took him quite a while to get that kind of respect or any kind of acknowledgement from any of the music community. I mean, I love the guy, and the fact that he has spent all of his life playing music in the local area as well as, you know, all over Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri. Lord have mercy. The guy has hit a lot of great milestones that nobody really understands. My first shot was because of Mr. Scott Holm. I love Scott Holm, the mystery behind Mr. Holm. Love the man. Anyways, I was working with his band. It was New Year's Eve, and we were rocking it over at Night Moves. Michelle owned it. Rock hard woman. Badass all around. But I was working the board, setting things up for everybody, you know, just typical roadie crap. And I was doing such a great job. I was enjoying myself, and I was checking out the monitors after our show. I stayed around and celebrated. Well, I got in the front, checking monitors out, making sure everything was taken care of, and Kurt was up there playing. Well, Kevin was up there singing, having a great old time, but I was in front of Kurt, and all of a sudden they started playing Slide It In by Whitesnake. Now, I don't know if you all understand this, but you have to take a look at a younger picture of Skinny when he was playing with the long blonde hair, right? And he looked so much like a very young Ozzy Osbourne or Randy Rhoads. But when he had his black Gibson playing the song, he looked so much like John Sykes. Now, John Sykes, great guitar player, one of my favorite all-time players. Thin Lizzy, Tigers of Pantang, I'm not sure the name, but I didn't listen to them as much as I did with his work with Whitesnake. Iconic songwriting abilities, John Sykes. But when he was playing, I got to watch him, and when I did, I was in awe. Then I all of a sudden see Skinny up there with the black Gibson playing, and it looks so much like him, like John Sykes, and my jaw dropped. I think back then you didn't want to be like everybody's seeing how much you love another man because, ooh, whatever, right? The labels and shit. But, man, I'll tell you what, I had a man crush right then and there, and it's never stopped. I mean, he doesn't know half the shit that I remember because it to him, it was probably small. But in my world, oh, Lord, that helped big time. So I'm watching Skinny up there on stage, playing away. I'm like, ugh. And afterwards, I got more into wanting to help fix his tone. Now, in my mind, in the back of my mind, I was like, yeah, I could do that. There's no problem. But I had an issue with his girlfriend at the time, Lisa. Now, okay, I understand she knew how he wanted to board. She knew his sound. She knew everything about him. And I didn't know Jack. But I was cocky, arrogant, and I had a few too many in me anyway. This is, you know, the top act playing. So it was about 10 o'clock when they got on, 10 or 10:30, you know. And it was New Year's Eve. So I was feeling cocky. I was hitting the board while I was playing, especially during his leads. I was jacking up his game, you know, getting those mids a little bit lower so we could hear the treble. That scratchy, iconic high tone. But Lisa didn't like that. So we had our little argument. We got on each other's cases, and we didn't like each other for the longest time. Then I come to find out we're related. Yeah, she's like a second cousin. You know, it's like that changed the tables completely around. Then we started talking, and we grew to respect each other. And that's how I got to spend more and more time with, you know, Skinny at his farm in Griswold. At his farm. And we enjoyed each other's company because we got to talking about the BS about the family and friends and everything. And I got to go into Skinny's studio and watch him work. I got to watch him go from playing the Fender style, where he was getting this tone out of it, the noise out of the pickups. There was a really sensitive tone coming out of it, and he was trying to fix it. I think he did, but then he switched over to another style guitar, Paul Reed Smith style, and he'd been playing that forever because it's comfortable. But I got to watch all this happen. Now, we had gone into the studio at one time. We were just hanging out, and then a buddy of mine who plays bass, Murren, you know, they were arguing over a bass line that just didn't sound right. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, Murren pounds it out in a heartbeat. He knew exactly where it was at and what was going on. But that was the caliber of musicians that are coming out of Southwest Iowa, the regime, baby. Southwest Iowa, yeah. But with Kurt, I love his story because, you know, he kept the family business going. He loved so many great down-to-earth things, and that just proves how much down to earth he was with everybody around him. Or he might still be, I don't know. I haven't really hung out with the guy in a long, long time. But he's so busy, he keeps himself going. And with his new wife, who seems throughout the pictures and everything I've seen and heard, is a great person. And he's well deserved. He needs somebody in his life that is just as good as he is, as being a person. So, but with Kurt, we did a lot of shows together, and we'd have jamming sessions and such. And to be honest, I loved being a roadie to him more than anything. Now, when I say that, I'm also saying the one person I would roadie always is Big John Murren. Murren's dad. This man is also in the Hall of Fame of music, and he deserves his own podcast, which he will get, because that man taught me more about the music industry, being a roadie and making sure everybody is taken care of. That man taught me a lot. And he was with us driving a lot. I would say 90% of the shows we were driving in the van with the, you know, gear in the back, hauling it through. But one night, I remember like it was yesterday that Skinny, Father Webb, we were driving down the road. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. We were just getting done and we were getting home and everybody was in the car coming down off of a big adrenaline rush from the night, the show and everything. And I actually did some background singing on a couple of songs out there because we had a mic back in the back with Big John. But we were driving and I was up front with Father Webb and I was singing along, having a good old time with the music, and Kurt turned off the music and he looked at me and goes, "You ever think about being a singer?" I was like, "Yeah, I sung in choir in high school and did all that and did some background, but never thought about, you know, leading off." And he talked to me about being a lead singer, and that completely changed my concept in singing, because then I started to put my ear out on it. I started listening to myself more and more. I started understanding the harmonies more and more because of his comment. It made me want to be a better musician, singer. I was already playing guitar. I was not good. I just played because I enjoyed playing. And I was surrounded by some of the greatest musicians. So I got to learn more and more. And I was so humble because of the fact that I was surrounded by some of these great musicians like Hauser and Murren. Love those guys to death. They will always be my brothers till the day I die. And I got to watch them grow up into some great musicians and, you know, family, friends. They had it all, you know. Even, that's why I love the Southwest Iowa regime, you know. I love Southwest Iowa. The people are golden. And with Kurt, the reason why I'm doing this is I'm seeing a lot of different posts up about his music and how he's playing in beautiful parts of the country. His acoustic work is beautiful. Sometimes I will be in here working on my guitar, and the songs that he had put out on Facebook and put out on his on websites that are available, I'm able to listen to and just enjoy the fact that I know where the creativity is based out of. The foundations of his music is just basically breathtaking because it's everywhere. It's chaotic. His best music is some of the bluegrass that he loves playing. You know, it's just, it's hard to really put a finger on anything with any individual because you don't know their whole story. You'll get that paper down plastic version of shit, but no. So, with Father Webb, there were times where, I'll give you another example of what kind of musician he is. One night we were in this dive bar in Missouri, and there was about five people in the audience. Kevin was smashed up there singing. They were doing Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train. And I loved the way Kurt always played Crazy Train. I loved the way he did it from beginning to end. But Kevin decided to add his own verse, and they had to extend the entire song, and everybody's looking around trying to figure out what's going on. But Kevin, he wanted to be Ozzy that night, and he put in his, I think he repeated a couple of verses, and they had, it was just a funny thing. But watching Father Webb up there trying to figure it all out. Oh my, that was fun. The look on the faces, and we all knew what was going on as soon as it started happening, because Kevin is such a beautiful front man when it comes to entertaining the people, especially when you got a nice rack. But anywho, when you surprise him up on stage, it's hilarious because he's got the genuine look of surprise, and then he'll start laughing about it because it's like, what the hell? I mean, what can we do now? It's done. Just play along. And that's what he does. He just plays along. He has a good time. You know? But the world needs more Father Webbs. The music industry needs more Father Webbs. And I gotta tell you, I miss a lot of the good times with the guys in Southwest Iowa. But all in all, because of the memories that I have, they do live on. And when I tell stories like this through the podcast, they do live on. Now, we all know and love Scott Hall. All right? We miss him. He's a genuine legend of Southwest Iowa. And without him, I would not have met Kurt Skinny Webb, Father Webb. Now, out of all of this that I'm talking about tonight, there are many, many stories. But you have to find out for yourself. There are a lot of people that are going to be listening to this that have known Skinny longer than I have, okay? And the fact that when we were playing, we were just a bunch of young, you know, full of shit kids that loved music. And Skinny, he helped a lot of these younger kids just by his attitude when he was playing, when he had the music flowing through him. He's not a very talkative person. He is quite a little shy, but I don't know, maybe with his age and wisdom, he's gotten out of it, but I hope not, because his innocence is what made him so pure. And listening to his music, the acoustic stuff is just, oh. But don't get me wrong, I know the man can still shred, alright? You have to excuse me, I'm drinking a lot of water because I am high. And when I get high and talk about people that I really care about, I get dry mouth, my throat gets really dry because I feel, you know, emotional, so I have to drink a lot. Anywho, when it comes to the guys in Southwest Iowa, a lot of them stick close together. It's like a family community. And when you have family that are out there playing and having a good time, of course you're going to show up. Well, a lot of these shows, man, I got to tell you, they were packed. A lot of the local bars that we played at would always be packed. It's the ones that you have to drive 5 hours in negative 20 degree weather with a truck full of stinky, smelly dudes that are trying to wake up. You know, that's the typical road trip from Southwest Iowa. Everybody would either get off of work or would take half a day. Then we'd all pack everything up. Now, Big John was pretty cool about getting things packed and already set up in the trailer to where it was easy for us to get it in and out, and he had it organized to a T. Okay. So with that in mind, we'd all get together and start heading out, right? We'd stop, get some food, head out. Well, about an hour and a half, we'd either get there or it would start to become the gas moment. Now, when I say gas moment, that means everybody is basically farting, shitting their pants, whatever, because the greasy crap that we got at Casey's for our way out, you know. So we finally get to where we need to go, relax for a few, get the set up, go inside, talk a bunch of bullshit. When are we going to get the free beer started? Okay, now, all right, let's get unloaded. We get unloaded and start getting things set up the way we want. It takes a good couple of hours to get it all done if you've never been there before. Now, if you've been there before and it's a local place or we have the experience in that area, then it doesn't take very long at all. We have it mapped out in our brain already. So, but there have been times, let me tell you, where we just did not want to set up at all because there's not enough room for monitors in the front stage, let alone any drum kit on the stage. Basically, it's one of those, poetry reading stages. But yeah, we could get a rock band on that. Fuck, you don't know shit. Anywho, the basics, we all get it all down, set up, do a sound check, making sure everything is all set up, making sure guitars are tuned up and drum is, the heads are all tuned up. You know, the snare is a bitch, but, you know, it's pretty easy to do if the drummer knows what the hell they're doing. Everybody basically takes care of their own gear, unless you have a real froggy roadie that wants to be impressing everybody. Hint, hint. Yeah, I did that a lot. Always wanted to make the guys happy and impress them because they were family, and I loved what they thought about me because it meant the world to me to be a part of something so beautiful, you know. So, but back in the real world, Kurt's life, when it comes to music, has been transformative throughout the whole thing. It moves, it evolves, and every step of the evolution of Father Webb has been a great ride and an awesome story. So when it comes down to it, the man, the myth, the legend, Kurt, he's been around the block and his music means the world. And I, for one, am so happy and proud to be a member of that history of who he is. So if you are listening to this and you don't know who I'm talking about, Google it. His acoustic work is still running strong. You'll be able to figure out where to get a hold of his music. But Kurt Skinny Webb, Father Webb, Hall of Famer of Iowa, which is pretty big. Iowa Hall of Fame music, a lot of great musicians came from Iowa. So, anywho, alright peeps, this is Doobie signing off. I hope you all enjoy yourselves. Peace out. Kurt Skinny Webb, Southwest Iowa Regime. Love you, man. Love you. This is the end of the program, where I basically tell you this is the end of the program. So you will stop listening now because it's the end of the program. Remember, this is the end of the program. So subscribe. If you want to hear more, get a hold of me. But this is the end of the program, so stop listening. This is it. Welcome to Doobie's Madness. This is the end of the program, so you can stop listening now. It's okay.